Well, Judge, I guess we'll go back to the beginning, first of all. It's obvious from after reading this that this investigation, for lack of better term, has been going on now for some time. And now the Board on Judicial Standards has come forth with what they call a public reprimand, mm-hmm. and some recommendations in the back. Why don't you put into words, going through the process here, first of all, what this has been going on for some time?
Well, I got first notice of this investigation, I believe it was in July or August of last year. So it's been going on since that time. And they gave me a bill of particulars, various complaints that had been submitted, one by a member of the public, parents of a teenage boy who had been killed in an automobile accident. And they were unhappy with the fact that I was late for the hearing, a hearing on the case, which I can understand. One was reported by an attorney who had a case in front of me, and they disagreed with the way I handled some evidence. And all the rest were filed by former Judge Peter Irvin, who was chief judge of our district. Quite a few that he submitted, charging me with various items, issues of misconduct. So this has been going on, as I say, for, oh, I guess 9 months or so now. And in the meantime, I responded to the complaints and gave them my version of things. And then they came back, and we went back and forth. And I went down and I met with the board in February of this year for about a 1.5 to 2 hour meeting, where they questioned me and I gave them my responses and gave them my view of the various things. And ultimately, they decided that they felt a public reprimand was appropriate. There are four levels, and I think you got in the materials that you received from them what those are, but the lowest level would be a private reprimand if they find there's been any misconduct. Private reprimand, and then the next level would be a public reprimand, which this is, and then beyond that there would be a suspension from office for some period of time, and then the worst beyond that would be removal from office. So those would have been the four options. They felt that these various things qualified for a public reprimand.
Judge, I was able to just look through this very briefly, and some of these things that the board says that you did you in fact do these things? Do you I don't want to go, I don't think we
I agree
line,
I,
by line, but generally
no.
Speaking, do you agree with the findings?
I agree with most of them. The biggest thing from the board standpoint was complaints of my tardiness, not getting to court on time and being late for some hearings. And for a long time, frankly, I was in denial over that issue. I had although people had mentioned it to me from time to time, I felt, well, it's not a big deal, and it's only occasional, and so it's nothing to worry about. But after this complaint was lodged and I began to take a serious look at the issue, I had no choice but to concede that indeed it had become a problem. So I absolutely acknowledge this. And this issue with tardiness, and I'm seeing a counselor about it, and I'm taking steps to remedy the situation, because I recognize that's a bad deal for the court, for the people who work at the court, and the people that come in for business with the court. So I have no dispute with that at all. Then there was another big thing with the board was there were two cases on which I was very late in issuing a decision. We have a 90-day limit that, by which we're supposed to issue a decision in most cases. And in these two, for whatever reason, and I don't have a good reason, they just didn't get done on time. At one of them, I reported on myself to the board, and the other one, they got word of in some other fashion. But obviously, I messed up on those as well. There's no denying that. And then there were some issues where I had tried to will sort of go out of my way to try to alleviate the consequences of convictions for a couple of people. One was going to be subject to deportation if he was convicted of a felony, and I tried to work it so that he would get a lower level conviction and not risk the deportation. But the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court of Minnesota had actually made it fairly clear that prior to that time that the risk of deportation was not a valid reason to depart from the sentencing guidelines. But I thought I would try to do the guy a favor and get around it, but it didn't work. And then there was another one where I had a woman who was to be convicted of a violation of a no-contact order with a former boyfriend, and it turned out that if she was convicted of the charge that was brought against her, that she would be prohibited from possessing firearms. Well, she worked for the National Guard, and handling firearms was part of her job. And so she was concerned that she might lose her job. And so there again, I tried to, you know, get around that that prohibition and sentence her to a lesser charge. And there again, the Court of Appeals disagreed with me. And I, rightly so, I guess, because there had been cases in the past that made it pretty clear that even though somebody may lose their employment as a result of conviction, you're not supposed to take that into consideration. So
looking back on these, what they say about hindsight, but would you agree that you perhaps stepped outside the bounds of your authority and or the law and recognize the conclusions then?
I do. I mean, I really have to. It leaves kind of a bitter taste in my mouth, but if I, to be perfectly honest, yes, I did go beyond my authority in those issues.
Was there any particular reason you felt compelled to do what you did? I'm looking at this stuff. It sounds like you're trying to be a nice guy, but I know that doesn't necessarily always jive with the law.
Well, that's right. I was trying to be a nice guy because I had seen these people in court a number of times before we finally got to the stage where they were to be sentenced. And I was convinced that they were basically good people who just got themselves in a bad situation, and that there was promise for them to, go on to be good citizens. And I thought I would try to give them a break, but I guess I tried too hard.
There was another one about there was a prisoner over at the jail, and you wanted to give him, I guess, some time off, or was it a work release type of thing?
Well, there were two.
Okay.
There was one fellow who was in, and he had some, he was a chronic alcoholic, and he was in for a drinking offense, but he also had some severe mental health issues, depression and anxiety and things like that. And he wanted a furlough to go to AA meetings on the outside, twice a week, I believe, is what he was asking for. And I agreed to that. I thought it would be good for him to get out jail is a horrible place. Jail is an awful place, very depressing. Even if you don't have depression going in, it's a depressing place to be. And so given his issues with depression and mental health, I felt it would be good for him to get a couple nights out. My mistake there is that I didn't first ask the county attorney's office if they had any objection. And because this is the kind of thing that we do frequently, people will ask for a furlough to go to this or that, and very rarely does the county attorney's office have an objection. And so it gets to be kind of a routine thing. You just go ahead and give it to them, sometimes without even bothering to ask. And in this case, I didn't ask the county attorney for their opinion. And of course, I could have done it anyway, even if they had voiced their opinion against it, because it's up to the judge to decide whether or not they can get a furlough. But they were upset that I didn't consult with them, and the board agreed that I should have consulted with them. And I agree that I should have. There's no doubt about that. And then there was another fellow, too, and he was in for a fairly lengthy time, and over Thanksgiving weekend, the holiday. And he was a guy who had impressed me when I had seen him in court, a fellow who had just a good guy who got himself in a bad situation. And I felt that he was not a danger to society or anything like that. And so I thought that it would be good if I could give him a furlough just to be home with his family for Thanksgiving. And so on my own initiative, I just wrote up a furlough and gave it to the jailers to let him out for a day for Thanksgiving. And there again, I should have consulted the county attorney's office before doing it, but I didn't. And so, I was wrong, again, doing that without at least consulting the county attorney's office. So those are the kinds of things.
Yeah. There's one brief mention about a discourtesy to court staff. It says, on several occasions, Judge Cahill was disrespectful to court staff.
You know, that one really puzzles me, and I disagree with that one. I don't believe I've ever been discourteous to court staff. Now, maybe I corrected somebody about something that they did wrong and they took offense at it. And if they're overly sensitive, maybe they were offended, but I honestly don't believe I've ever been disrespectful or discourteous to court staff. I think I have a reputation around here of being even-tempered and kind of a laid-back person, and easily approachable and talked to, but most of the court staff seems to have no difficulty coming to talk to me, or if I make a mistake, and I make mistakes, just pointing it out to me, and fine.
It says Judge Cahill will comply with the following conditions. Among them, at the top here, you will determine the causes of the misconduct set forth above and take the actions necessary to ensure that the misconduct is discontinued and not repeated. Judge, have you identified what perhaps might have been causing you to be what they term chronically late in decisions and in appearances and whatnot? Is there an underlying cause here?
I've done some research on that since this came up. And what I have found on the internet is that some people have suggested that it may be related to ADHD, but I've never been diagnosed with ADHD. And that's just the opinion of some psychologists, I guess, who have looked at it. I don't think there's any definitive answer to that. I know it's not in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Health Issues. So I don't know. But as I said earlier, as soon as this came to light, or shortly after, I recognized the problem, I started seeing a counselor, and I still am, to try to develop strategies to avoid this situation in the future. And it's working. And I've been correcting the situation, getting to work on time or earlier. Mm-hmm. So I hope we've got that one licked.
So you don't have any issues with your caseload or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not a caseload issue.
Okay.
It's just something in me that, I don't have trouble getting up in the morning. I get up and then I tend to waste a lot of time just putzing around the house before I realize, I better hurry up and get to work. And I just am correcting that process.
Okay. Any last thoughts or words, Judge, on this whole matter?
Well,
sounds like you've been through a lot here.
Well, it's been kind of nerve-wracking going through this over the past 9 months or so, and it's obviously embarrassing, no doubt about that. But in a lot of ways, I see it as an opportunity to correct the problems, admit to them, correct them, and move on and try to be a better judge. So I guess every cloud has a silver lining, yeah, they say. So maybe this was a needed wake-up call for me to correct the course and do better.